Okay, next up. Thomas, agenda paper six.
So what record does this paper set?
I think it is the biggest paper that we've ever had at the company.
I'm sorry for that. But.
It was very long.
I would also observe that it's a very good paper, despite the fact that it's
yes,
Thomas,
first,
up to you.
Oh, thank you very much. First of all, apologies for this long paper. But starting with it, yes, the Interpretations Committee received a request seeking clarification on whether an asset with relatively simple associated processes meets the definition of a business in accordance with IFRS 3. More specifically, the question asked was whether an investment property with associated processes like cleaning, maintenance, and security services constitutes a business. And the Interpretations Committee observed that there is a difficulty in determining whether the acquisition meets the definition of a business, but this difficulty is not limited to the acquisition of investment property. And the committee noted that this broader issue goes beyond the scope of its activities, and therefore the issue should be addressed by the ISB as part of its post-implementation review of IFRS 3. However, the committee considered it to be useful if it would contribute its experience and results from these discussions on the issue to the post-implementation review. Consequently, the Interpretations Committee asked the staff to continue our discussions with the FASB staff, to do further outreach to interested parties from different industry sectors with the aim of providing relevant information to the post-implementation review. In processing this request, we have reached out to preparers and preparer industry groups in the following industry sectors: investment property, extractive industries, pharmaceutical, banking, shipping, and solar and wind farms. In addition, we contacted the large accounting and auditing firms. We have summarized the outreach responses and discussed the summary with the FASB staff and the post-implementation review team of the Financial Accounting Foundation and identified a list of issues that we think could be further explored as part of the ISB's post-implementation review of IFRS 3. All this is included in staff paper 6A. We think that the Interpretations Committee can contribute its experience and the results from the discussions on this broader issue to the post-implementation review by contributing the results of our work documented in staff paper 6A, together with a summary of the Interpretations Committee's discussions at this meeting to the post-implementation review. We think that this contribution will help the ISB in phase one of the post-implementation review, that is the phase of initial assessment and public consultation, in its identification of issues for setting the scope of the post-implementation review of IFRS 3 and providing an understanding of the nature of the issues that the post-implementation review will focus on in the second phase. We expect that the depth of the information included in the Interpretations Committee's contribution could, in phase one of the post-implementation review, that is the phase of consideration of evidence and presentation of findings, be used with the feedback received from the request for information to gain an understanding of the challenges that entities face in applying aspects of IFRS 3. The way in which the experience and information contributed to the post-implementation review, in our view, is outlined in staff paper 6. Consequently, we want to ask the Interpretations Committee the following questions. First, do the Interpretations Committee members have any comments on how the experience and the information contributed by the Interpretations Committee will be used in the post-implementation review of IFRS 3? Second, does the Interpretations Committee agree with this contribution of experience and information to the post-implementation review of IFRS 3? Third, What comments do the Interpretations Committee members have on our outreach activities and the summary of the outreach responses, or on our discussions with the Financial Accounting Foundation's post-implementation review team and the FASB staff? And fourth, what comments do the Interpretations Committee members have on the tentative summary of the issues that could be further explored as part of the post-implementation review of IRIS 3?
Okay, Thomas, you rolled out four questions, and I only see two in Agenda Paper 6, so...
The other two are in Agenda Paper 6A.
Yes. Oh, okay. They're the ones in 6A. Okay. They're all of the same general type, so unless you want us to proceed with them individually... I don't see you saying that. We'll have a more general discussion on this. I think the key point here is Thomas has done a huge amount of work. So I guess there are a couple of questions. Number one, does he need to do more? And number two, do we ever want anybody to do this again? Scott?
I would think that you will need to do more once the board reads all of this and has questions and tells you to do more. But I don't think we ought to be telling you that we think that you ought to do more. As for whether we want anybody to do this much work again, I guess that depends on how the board is responsive to this in the post-implementation review. The feedback we've got is very helpful to me in understanding the issues, and largely, I think, is consistent with what I've experienced so far. So it seems to me that you've asked the right industries, and the feedback is consistent with what I've seen in practice. So that doesn't surprise me that this is what we've heard. I'll wait until later to make any further comments.
Others are just returning to the paper. My questions certainly don't have preference.
Joanna?
Yes, Joanna. I'll try to make sure a point to call on you separately, but please go ahead.
Yes. Okay, sorry. A wonderful amount of work, and I certainly was comfortable with the summary that had been done. They seemed to be the right issues to me, but I have to say it does beg the question with hindsight as whether it was the right thing to do, as you said, whether we actually want to ask somebody to do it again from us, because I think it will be very valuable for the post-implementation. But maybe it's in more detail or not the areas necessarily that would have been done. So I, at some point, and maybe it fits in with the other two areas that you talked to right at the beginning of the meeting, a philosophical discussion as to whether or not this committee should get involved with this kind of work, I think would be useful.
Yeah, I think your point is well taken, and it's one that we've discussed internally. My personal reaction is that many of the groups, certainly not all, that Thomas reached out to are people that might not have routinely been involved or chosen to involve themselves in a post-issuance review on the broader topic of business combination accounting. So this is a little bit more focused topic and a little bit, certainly considerably broader outreach than would have just walked in the door. So I think that's the balancing factor in my mind. John?
First of all, I'd like to commend Thomas on the paper. I think it's a tremendous paper. I didn't find anything particularly surprising in it. It's sort of consistent with my experience of the issues that are discussed and how they're dealt with and resolved. But I think the paper is fabulous. It's a real accounting manual for business combinations and making the decision about whether you've got a business or an asset acquisition. So it's very good. I mean, it's probably a more fundamental question, I suppose, which comes out of all of the different views, which is, I mean, there's a lot of differential accounting that's now riding on the difference between a business combination and an asset acquisition. And it's quite clear from this paper that determining whether you have a business combination or an asset acquisition is very grey and with very different views. And I suppose it does raise the question about whether this fundamentally different type of accounting universe you get, whether you're in a business combination or an asset acquisition, is really justified by the distinction between a business and an asset acquisition. But I think this will be very helpful to the board in the post-implementation review, and I think the issues that are canvassed are the ones we see in practice dealing with this question of what is a business.
Sandy?
I guess my comment would be amen, that I agree with what John has said. I mean, as I read it, as I read the paper, to me it said, really we've created a differential accounting regime for something that economically may not be very different. And one of the things that, you know, as a part of the post-implementation review, for the FASB as an example, we get constantly asked to send the surveys to our member database to get investor input. And in this paper, there was no, I understand we're applying the guidance, and so investors don't necessarily apply the guidance, but investors receive the input of the end product of the guidance. And the question is, did we ask them, does it matter to them? Or did we ask in these particular industries if economically the same thing is coming out differently because somebody's made a decision one way or the other because the accounting guidance is different? So I would say one thing that's missing is, well, do investors see these differences really differently? And have we just constructed an accounting regime that gives a different result when economically there isn't a difference in some of the instances? So, as I read it, I found it to say this is so hard in these areas. It may be because it are they really that different in some instances?
Yeah, I can't resist the two observations. Number one, when we did the 2005 round of changes, the big improvements project. My memory is that some board members would have favored amending IAS 16 to say that the objective is to measure the fair value of the asset acquired at the date of acquisition.
You could have seen the pitchforks and torches out in the street
from people who said, absolutely not, that's not what we want, that would be a terrible thing to do. And as recently as this year, I attended a meeting of EFRAG, at which one member said, the real problem is IFRS 3 being fair value, and if you just went back to good old principles-based accounting, everybody would understand how to account for an acquisition. And of course, he meant add up the checks you wrote. So,
value was not a principle.
Well, I'm reporting that yes, some people would favor a fair value regime. I wouldn't count on the fact that you would actually get that if these were opened up this way. Laurence?
Yeah, first I congratulate the staff for this lengthy but thorough paper. I was wondering, so what can I say on this paper? So the only thing I will say is that it is consistent with what I have observed in practice. It just highlights the complexity it is defining whether you are faced with a business combination or not. You highlighted very well in that paper. And lastly, I think that you have highlighted the questions that need to be digged more thoroughly from in your paper 6A from page 30 to page 38. And this focus on the processes, the input, the output, and when you have an external party to which you have outsourced certain activities, what is the importance of each of them or the weight you give to each of them, those factors in deciding whether you have a business or not? It's really critical. So I think you have highlighted the right questions to consider further if the ISB wants to provide some further clarity on identifying a business. I also would highlight that in other projects that we've dealt with and for which there are currently exposure drafts, we put an emphasis in distinguishing whether we are faced with a business or not a business. For example, sale of a subsidiary to an associate or joint venture, joint operation, acquisition of an interest in a joint operation. So I'm no, and it's likely that we'll get comments back that distinguishing whether we are faced with a business or not a business is going to attract focus even more. So I don't know. Yeah, it's the PRR, so I don't know the timetable for this, but it is on the table and may become even more important to deal with.
Any other remarks? Joanna, did you want to come in again?
No, thank you.
Okay, well, my sense is, oh, Scott, you got one?
I just wonder if we want to communicate to the board that while we've got a lot of input here on the difficulty of determining what a business is, you know, do we want to tell the board that they might more usefully focus their attention on reducing the differences? I mean, we've obviously identified that there are a number of differences that are causing this to be important, causing the question of whether it is a business to be important. You know, do we want to tell the board that perhaps rather than trying to provide more guidance on that question, what is a business or what isn't, maybe you ought to turn to the differences and see if they all need to exist. If you narrow the differences between accounting for an asset acquisition and a business acquisition, then maybe the pressure on this question goes away. That might be a better way to deal with the praxis issues. I don't know if we've actually gotten to the point where we would want to recommend that to the board, but it seems like it might be a more fruitful way to go.
Well, other than Sandy and maybe Joanna, I don't think we have a basis to have that conversation. And moreover, I'm not absolutely certain it would be productive because the board already has completed this cycle of agenda considerations. What you're talking about is a fundamental amendment, at least to IAS 16, probably to IAS 38 as well.
Well, it depends what they decide, what they might decide to change.
And, or a fundamental change to business combination accounting. So I'm not sure that it would be a productive use of our time right now to have that conversation at this committee. Because as I say, that we've got the post-issuance review, hasn't even hardly been started, or has it been started at all?
I can update you in a second.
Okay, Alan's going to update us in a second on where that is. You're talking about a major project which would have to go through the agenda consultation process, which is a couple of years off in the future from now, so I'm not absolutely convinced we could do it productively. But Alan, you want to tell us where the post-issuance review is?
Yeah, two things, and I might sound like I'm going to contradict you a little bit on this in terms of the general topic. I don't think you need to have that conversation about the fundamental issue about accounting arbitrage or differences between, say, a group of assets and a business. So I think that will come out naturally out of the post-implementation review, to be honest. And my personal view is I think that's the hub of the matter because I was involved in IFRS 3 and I remember helping write the paragraph that said that we wanted, I remember the meeting when, in fact, Mike Crouch had a lovely comment at the FASB when the boards decided reluctantly that they would not change the accounting for IS 16 for acquisition costs. Mike Crouch said, it's our business to create conflict in standards. And what he meant was they had to make the hard decisions about we'd like to, but we'll live with the fact that we have a contradiction between a group and a business. But we were very close at that stage to actually changing the accounting in IAS 16, but they thought that might actually delay the whole of the IFRS 3 project. So I think that issue's around. But the reason I'm going to say I'm quite comfortable with this process is the way the post-implementation review operates, and Mariella Ascern, who's just sitting in the back, is going to be conducting that for us. We'll undertake the review. We will be doing some of that potentially with the FASB, actually, because of the way the FAF review operates, which is a very closed system. The FASB has not got any really solid information to form the basis for them to do any agenda decision making, so they're going to have to do some replication as well. So the idea is we would probably involve them a little bit. We'll undertake the review. We suspect it'll take about a year to do. And there's no presumption at all that anything that comes out of the review will lead to any sort of technical changes. But I can imagine, for example, that we're either going to get a decision that will say, look, yes, we do need to do work on defining a business, or we simply will get a recommendation say we need to look more fundamentally about whether there are differences between a group of assets or a business, for example. And the recommendation would only be that we think about this for a future project. So it's not having a discussion and asking, making sure that we keep these things in mind and entering the review is not going to bind us into or tie us into any sort of technical decisions at this stage. It's a long haul, unfortunately, for this, or fortunately.
What you've seen is the difference between youth and cynicism.
Youth.
Relatively speaking. Okay. Okay. Thomas, outstanding job.
Thank you.
I think one of the thoughts that you had is perhaps we might summarize internally this conversation and communicate it to the board. I think you can probably do that in a series of 5 or 6 bullet points, and we'll make sure that gets to be part of the record so the board has a full sense of the conversation. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hold on.
All right.
Leo, back again. What I propose